Blog Talk Radio.
Mets fans, that was the collective thoughts of millions across the country. This news that just broke, and I'm joined right now by Michael Cohen, writer for Amazing Clubhouse, Cohen Sports Corner. And Michael, this is a day that I know many Mets fans had dreamed about. They had been clamoring for this even before the Mets World Series run in 2015. An organization in a big market in New York City that operates like a small market or mid-market team just wasn't cutting it. And now with this news that the Wilpons finally selling a majority stake in the team to Steve Cohen, a billionaire, a man with deep pockets. We'll get into it as far as his Mets fandom going back to his childhood days. But Michael, I don't know how you feel about this, but this has to be one of the happiest days Mets fans have had really since they clinched the NL pennant back in 2015.
Can you crank up that music again, please?
Yes! Happy Kwanzaa! Happy New Year! The Wilpons history! Can I just say this is the single greatest day of my Met fandom, which tells you all you need to know about the misery that I have had to live with this team. I mean, aside from the surprising joy that I had in 2015 of the team getting to the World Series, I probably haven't been this happy since the Mets were actually beating up everybody in 2006. This is like the greatest feeling I've had in a very, very long time to see the Wilpons. And let me just say this, Rick. You know, I'll give the Wilpons a little credit here. Thank you. Thank you for realizing that your ownership was an albatross. Because without them recognizing their own financial problems, this never would have happened, ever.
And even going back to the Bernie Madoff scandal, which now is 5, 6, even 7 years in the rear view, you would have think that the Wilpons somewhat financially recovered from that Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme, let's call it. But clearly in the New York market, in a win-now market, when you have the Yankees as the other team in the New York City baseball scene, the Mets being a small market team and operating like one just isn't going to cut it. And you kind of look back at the old regime under Sandy Alderson and you just scratch your head at how the Mets are even able to compete, how they went to and nearly, again, blew many saves in late innings and late leads that could have culminated in a world championship. The fact they were so close as an organization that really was not tapping into its full potential as far as the payroll is concerned, it's unbelievable when you think about it. And now with Brody Van Wagenen, we're going to get into this a little bit, trying to clean up some of the mistakes he made from last offseason, whether it was the trade for Cano and for Diaz, signing Jed Lowry, who barely saw the field, and trying to find ways to part ways with Jesus Familia and get somebody to pick up that contract. So, you know, it's funny that this news came down shortly after the Mets put out notice that they wanted to dump some of those quote-unquote hefty bad contracts, which made you think, here we go again. It's another cost-saving measure. The Mets are just trying to push the payroll lower and lower and lower, and the Wilpons are trying to be frugal and, as Met fans would say, try to be cheap. But here you have Steve Cohen, and I'm going to let you share your thoughts on this ownership change that apparently I read the press release yesterday that said within 5 years – that Steve Cohen would assume controlling interest. Everything I'm reading today is that effective immediately, if this sale goes through, that Cohen would become the majority owner, 51% owner at least of the franchise, and then in 5 years would be as much as an 80% stakeholder in the Mets organization. So with that being said, Steve Cohen, I spoke to his office yesterday. He's a lifelong Met fan. He remembers during their inaugural year in 1962, a team that went 40-120, finished 60.5 games back of first place. He goes back to the days of the Polo Grounds, and you have a billionaire owner that now this Mets franchise has the richest owner across the entire league. I mean, Michael, like you said, this is probably one of the happiest days for you as a Met fan, for me as well. Having been born in 1985, I was alive for the Mets World Series. I don't remember it. So this has to be the happiest day I can remember as a Met fan, having a billionaire owner come in and take over the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the fact that you look at the Wuppon's reign of terror and disaster, many years ago, before I got a chance to meet you, meet Dan Feuerstein, and do all the things we've done on 24/7 Sports, and now here with Maven, of course, Mezzo Maven, I had a show on internet radio on another internet radio station, and I would have this debate with this guy consistently, almost weekly, regarding the Mets. And I was very much an anti-Wuppon kind of guy. I was not in favor of their ownership. I was pleading for them to sell during the – this was in the height of the Bernie Madoff scandal – pleading that the Wuppons move ahead and sell this team, cut their losses, because they were strangling the franchise with all the lawsuits and all their own financial restraints that were coming from the Bernie Madoff scandal. And this guy defended the Wuppons to the hilt. And even after the scandal, he kept defending the Wuppons to the hilt. And I'm like, why? They don't spend any money. They don't put all their resources back into the franchise, and they were making money off of this Madoff scandal, for that matter. They don't put any money into the team. And no matter what, this guy just always defended the Wuppons. Well, I don't know where he is now, but I'm sure that guy's probably hiding under a rock right now, trembling that his beloved Wuppons are now out, because this is absolutely the best day in Mets history, because now they're going to have an owner now who does come with a checkered past. You know, we do talk about Steve Cohen's own financial issues as well, as far as getting into trouble with the SEC, what have you. But this is a guy who is a billionaire, $9.2 billion. He says he's going to have deep pockets and he's going to be willing to spend money, which means everybody in that organization right now is on notice. You mentioned the fact that this sale could go down sooner rather than later. Brody Van Wagenen, you know what, buddy? Your seat is getting a little toasty right now, considering that he was not picked by Steve Cohen to be the general manager of this team. The fact that he is basically a novice general manager. All the mistakes that he made last year. Who knows how the Carlos Beltran hire is going to turn out? You know, that doesn't look too good, especially if Beltran ends up getting suspended by Major League Baseball for his involvement in Astros Gate. He is a guy who's got a lot of all the pressure is now going to be on him to impress this new owner, and everybody now is on watch because Steve Cohen's coming in and he's going to clean house. And I wish this would go through sooner, because I want to see him clean house now. I don't want to wait 5 years. I want it now, because right now you got DeGrom, you got Syndergaard still in their prime, you got Alonso still very young, still in a rookie contract. I want the sale done now.
And there's two, and your point about sweeping changes coming to the Mets, I think that's well taken. There's two ownership situations. It might be comparing apples and oranges in one instance, but I think there's something to be said for, and we saw this week in the NFL, the firing of Ron Rivera from the Carolina Panthers, and that being new owner David Tepper, who, of course, seceded Jerry Richardson as the new owner of the Carolina Panthers. And he admitted, there was a one-on-one interview where he said, you know, I went ahead and underwent sweeping changes to the business side of the organization, overhauled everything from management on down. And he sat back, he let the football people in that case make the football decisions. And when he saw things were not going in the direction he felt was comfortable, he made a change at head coach. He's made other changes to the football operations side of the Carolina Panthers. And I expect the same thing from Steve Cohen. Look, I think that right now with Carlos Beltran, a first-time manager, you have to be patient. He's going to go through some growing pains. He has a actual proven, experienced bench coach in Hensley Mullins that's actually going to guide him through this process. But, you know, I think that Steve Cohen wants to win. He wants to win now. I'm not going to say he's going to be a Hal Steinbrenner type or a George Steinbrenner that, you know, year in and year out, they're going to be at the top of the MLB in payroll. But I do think that is a distinct possibility. And, you know, the only cautionary tale I'd have, and I don't think this really applies, because in the situation of the Brooklyn Nets, when you have Mikhail Prokhorov, a Russian oligarch coming over, a billionaire, buying the team, I think Nets fans had that expectation that the Nets were going to spend above the luxury tax. They were going to basically be buying players left and right, and they tried to do that. It backfired on them. And in the end, Prokhorov just really came over as the owner, really just to move money over from Russia into New York, into the States, and then, of course, sold the team basically tenfold of what he originally bought them for. So I think from that standpoint, that was more of a business decision, whereas here I think – Steve Cohen, being a lifelong Met fan, has a vested interest in this team doing well. And, Michael, like I said, if you look across the division, you see the Philadelphia Phillies signing Zach Wheeler for 4 years, $118 mm-hmm. million, dollars, a guy that never even sniffed a Cy Young Award. And you have Jacob deGrom, who's the two-time reigning Cy Young Award winner in the National League, and he's making $2 million, just $2 million more per year than Zach Wheeler. That tells you all you need to know about the state of the Mets' finances and their payroll, that they're not willing to open up that checkbook in order to get this team and push them over the hump.
It's not only that, but it's also their meddling in baseball operations. I mean, let's be honest, the real general manager of this team has been Jeff Wilpon. All the buck stops with him. So you have Van Wagenen, and you had, of course, before Beltran, Mickey Callaway, reporting to Jeff Wilpon. And that's now that's hopefully going to change. Hopefully we'll get a owner in here who recognizes you need real baseball people in the air to run the team. That as soon as possible, he can fire Van Wagenen when he gets the chance, if he doesn't get fired at the end of this year, soon. And you hire real baseball people to run the team. You don't need a dog and pony show where you have, you know, Tim Tebow clogging up your minor league system. You don't need to have a situation where you have the general manager calling into the dugout to levy instructions to the manager. I mean, this just all this chaos that is going on under the Wilpons' watch, it's embarrassing what has gone on under their watch. And if you're a Met fan, all you can hope for is that you get some change. You get some positive change moving in the right direction.
And this is going to be the end, finally, of all those billboards. Sell the team, Jeff and Fred, get rid of this franchise. Find somebody that's a competent owner, because Steve Cohen, deep pockets, he's going to be able to do that. And I think ultimately for this Mets franchise, and I think it's going to be a slow transition. Like you mentioned, Michael, you can't wait. It can't come soon enough. The reports that are coming out, I guess they have to be confirmed as of yet, but it looks like effective immediately you're going to see Steve Cohen step in, and I think he's going to have a more prominent role in the decision-making. I think, as you mentioned, I mean, just look no further than the New York Jets and Woody Johnson. I mean, hopefully Steve Cohen, let's see how deep those pockets are. Maybe he can just do a package buy for the Mets and the Jets, and we don't have to worry about the Johnsons meddling in all the football decisions. But I think that Cohen is going to take I think Cohen's going to take a smart approach. And I should have said at the top of the show, Michael, and I think you can address the listeners too. There is no relation between Steve Cohen and Michael Cohen. That's correct?
Well, I won't say anything. I'm not related. Maybe. No. Yeah, Uncle Steve, give me a $400 million loan and I'll buy the Jets and fire Adam Gase immediately. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy.
No relation.
Yeah,
at all.
So in any case, no relation. But no. In all seriousness, this is going to be a landmark moment. It's going to be a moment when you look back in 5 years and you can be a Met fan now and in the same town, and you think about this as the New York Yankees, you can say that you can actually compete. You can actually be on the same level playing field. And not to say that, again, the Mets are just going to go out and have the shotgun approach and just start throwing good money after bad in free agency and, devoiding this team of great prospects and making the farm system obviously lose some assets. I think that they're going to be smart and strategic in their approach. But I agree with you, Michael. I think it's look out, Brody Van Wagenen. He's put on notice. I think Carlos Beltran is a young manager. They have to give him time to grow. But ultimately, Michael, how far along do you think this potential sale, if and when it does go through? I mean, I expect from day one when they officially announced this that Steve Cohen's going to have his fingerprints all over this organization. Do you think that this ultimately is going to take and culminate in 3, 4, or 5 years until we start seeing the fruits of this labor come through? Do you think ultimately this could happen within the next year where we're starting to see this team and bumping up the payroll and being more aggressive free agency? Do you think that's something that Met fans can realistically expect in the short term?
I think it depends. I think it depends on how much influence he wants to have right away or how much influence the Wilpons are willing to give him right away. If they're going to stick around and, you know, basically be majority owners, the Wilpons, that is, for 4 more years at the very least, you're not going to see too much dramatic change, which is why I was pleading, saying, I hope this happens sooner, because you've got a lot of great players in their prime or just before their prime. You really don't want to wait too much longer before you open up the coffers when it's too late. You like to see him, have some impact, Steve Cohen, almost right away within the next year. Like I said, a lot of guys are on notice. You want to take care of a number of guys. You got rookie contract under Pete Alonso that needs to be ripped up and restructured. I mean, I don't know the exact figure, but I'm sure it's nowhere near the veterans minimum for that matter. And he's going to want a multi-year, multi-million dollar contract. Noah Syndergaard, you got to decide what you want to do with him. And I think that Steve Cohen's got to have some say in those moves. Obviously a move like we saw the Mets make today for Jake Mariznick is not a Steve Cohen-endorsed move. I think it's pretty safe to say. But he's got to have more say, I think, very slowly over the next year to have say in personnel. And player personnel. And it's almost kind of like what the Wilpons had with Nelson Doubleday for all those years where they were co-partners in owning the team. The Wilpons had some say in what was going on at the time with the organization. You want to see Steve Cohen have some say in what's going on before he takes full control before 2025, if not hopefully sooner than that.
And I'm glad that you mentioned Jake Mariznick, of course, formerly with the Houston Astros. Now they acquired him via trade. And my question to you is this, and if I understand this correctly, I mean, Met fans are celebrating getting a defensive-minded center fielder, and this is their big free agent signing to date. This is the move to combat Cole Hamels to the Braves and Zach Wheeler to the Philadelphia Phillies is signing a basically platoon player in center field that's probably going to replace Juan Lagares. He's probably going to play in place of Brandon Nimmo against left-handed pitchers. What does this say for Yoenis Cespedes' future, and what does it say for how, I guess you could say, optimistic the team is that he is even going to factor into their plans for 2020? I mean, how should Met fans view this move for Jake Mariznick? Is this just simply a case of just having depth and having a defensive presence in center field, or do you think he can perhaps have a more expanded role beyond that?
I would hope, based on track record alone, that he's no more than just a role player for this team. Now, I mean, he has played a lot. He has played a lot of games as Mariznick. He played in 120 games last season, played in over 100 games the year before that in 2018. But you take a look at his production, and it doesn't reflect a guy who should be playing 120 games a year. You want to see a player like this come off the bench, be more of a defensive replacement late in innings. So I don't think the Mets are necessarily done as far as shopping for outfielders. I don't know if this takes them out of the Sterling Marte conversation. I don't know if the two guys that they traded for Mariznick would have been included in a Marte deal, for example, but I still think that the Mets are in the market to go out there and improve their center field position with a more established player who can certainly give them a little more pop offensively than a Jake Mariznick. So, I mean, if depth-wise, it's a nice move. Everyday player, I just don't see it. As far as Cespedes is concerned, I think they're going to – it's such a tricky situation. I wrote a story about this a couple weeks ago. You know, they're going to be in a situation where they have to decide whether to cut their losses or just eat the money and find a way to pay it. You know, basically keep them on the team, pay the money. Either way, they're going to have to pay this guy. Or they could just file a grievance and not pay him at all, and that would be another long legal battle like we see with the Yankees with Jacoby Ellsbury. So I don't see Yoenis Cespedes having any future with the Mets this year. I don't see him putting on a Met uniform at all this year. But I think the Mariznick move, if it affects anybody, it affects Brandon Nimmo. It may affect him.
Yeah, and you know, with the Mets, they're keeping a close eye on this relief staff, and I mean, even under Sandy Alderson, I mean, I think he said it best that you can't really project year to year. Relievers are the most hot and cold commodity in all of Major League Baseball. You can have a player, just look no further than Edwin Diaz, was lights out with the Seattle Mariners back in 2018, and of course that infamous trade now for him and Cano, and Kalenic going over, and then all of a sudden Edwin Diaz, the wheels fall off the wagon. So you look at a player that the Mets have their sights set on, according to multiple reports, and Josh Hader, you know, a player that was, I guess you could say, the full-time closer for the Brewers, although, you know, he didn't close every game, but a guy that many people had said that the Mets may have to part ways with a top player, and Jeff McNeil included in that mix, perhaps a Dominic Smith. I mean, do you think that given the track record and the luck the Mets have had with guys coming out of the bullpen, closers that have been effective in other places, they come over and they just wilt, whether it's under the pressure in New York, whether it's, again, the organizational lacking in coaching and being able to get the mechanics on the right page. Do you think that the Mets should ultimately trade for a relief pitcher that can potentially see assets walk out the door? Should the Mets try to build from within, maybe call up some players that look promising within the farm system, or, you know, sign a player that may be at a mid to lower tiered contract, as opposed to giving up something for what I would call would be very much a an unknown commodity anytime you're talking about a reliever coming over to the Mets?
I think they should be more aggressive in trying to sign some free agents as far as relievers are concerned. You know, one guy that's out there that I'm intrigued by, doesn't mean that he's going to be the right guy to add, would be Dylan Betances, who is available. Now, he was injured last year, but when he was healthy, he was really good. I mean, a lot of people thought he could be in the closer for the Yankees before they brought in Aroldis Chapman. That's a guy I would be very intrigued about and would try to bring in. There are a lot of relievers out there in the market. Cody Allen is available. You want to go back old school, bring back Drey Blevins. I know he's 36 years old. You want to go that route again. I would rather do that than make a trade for relief pitching, because at the very least, all it is costing you the price tag on the contract. Whereas if you make a trade, now you're getting rid of players that could help you maybe down the line, or maybe help you in July get a real impact player that can play for you every single day.
And, you know, changing gears for a minute and talking about this Mets team and where we project them to be. I mean, with the Washington Nationals now coming off a World Series championship, and as you alluded to, I mean, if there's nothing that's more of an indicator of where this team is under the Wilpons ownership, you know, you have a team, an arch rival within the division, a Nationals team that prior to this year couldn't get over the hump, couldn't win a round in the playoffs, and there they were, Game 7 of the World Series against I guess you want to call it, two-time World Series appearance Astros over the past 3 years. And even in spite of the sign-stealing scheme, the Nationals were able to foil no home playoff wins throughout the whole series, a really unusual World Series, just to say the least. But the fact that the Mets are not being aggressive, as you're alluding to, and not trying to be the big spenders in free agency, and you see a team like the Philadelphia Phillies that were so hot and cold last year, showed some promise, have some young promising players, but weren't even nearly on the same level as the Mets were towards the end of the season. For them to outspend the New York Mets during this free agency period so far, that has to be just a gut punch to a lot of Met fans. And, you know, you wonder if a guy like Steve Cohen, who is watching from afar, seeing how this free agency is playing out and sees the Wilpons, where they finally decide, okay, we're going to sell the team. Did that become a breaking point? I mean, obviously this is not something that developed overnight. Clearly, the Wilpons had plans, or at least were entertaining thoughts of selling some kind of controlling interest in the team. How, if you had to speculate, and that's really all we can do at this point until the facts come out, but how far in the past do you think that the Wilpons and possibly Cohen or other potential individuals that expressed interest in buying controlling stake in the team, are we talking about this is developing in the last year, the last 6 months? This is going back 5 years. How far back do you project this kind of selling a majority ownership in the Mets? When did that start?
Well, one thing I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I mean, none of us really know what's been going on behind closed doors, but I'll say this just to speculate. Based on what I've read about Steve Cohen is that he is a relentless pursuer of whatever he wants. I mean, the show Billions, the character that's played by Damian Lewis, Bobby Axelrod, is modeled after Steve Cohen. And if you watch that show, you see how ruthless, aggressive, even downright nasty that character can be on the show. Now, I'm not saying here that, you know, Steve Cohen's a mean SOB. I have no idea. But just from the standpoint of business is concerned, if he's that ruthless, who knows? Maybe he's been pushing for this for a while. I could certainly say, you know, I could see maybe like a year, maybe 6 months saying, hey, you know, you guys, you can't afford this. You guys can't afford that. You know, let me help you. Maybe he's been trying to throw his hat into the ring to help, maybe to loan money, you know, whatever it may be, try to get the team moving. He owns a 4% stake as it is. And maybe the Wilpon said, you know what, maybe we should just sell. Maybe he's very convincing. You know, maybe Cohen talked to the Wilpons, got him thinking, you know, hey, you know, maybe you guys should sell. You know, I could maximize the value of the franchise, double it, triple it, who knows. And he convinced them. And here we are today, 3 weeks before Christmas, and the Mets have the Christmas gift they've wanted for many, many years.
the gift that keeps on giving, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, and, you know, the one thing that I guess Met fans didn't realize, and I guess because of the fact that he wasn't in a prominent role with the organization, you know, Steve Cohen had an 8% stake in the Mets prior to this agreement for the Wilpons to sell to him. So he had been not necessarily an active member of ownership, but he had been involved. He had been at some of those meetings and, of course, close with the Wilpons and watching not only as a fan, but also, in an ownership chair as far as the direction of the team. And I'm sure, like many Met fans, after that run in 2015, the short-lived run to a wild card game against the unstoppable Madison Bumgarner, and then the way things transpired over 2017, 2018, and of course last year, to me that had to be the breaking point. But that'll be probably in about 20 years. Hopefully, Michael, after the Mets have won 4 World Series under the new guidance of a new owner in Steve Cohen, maybe he'll write a tell-all book that'll say all the good juicy details about how and when the Wilpons sold to him and how basically he probably had to timeshare style corner them in a room and basically force them to sign an agreement if your billion show is accurate of his actual personality and his ruthlessness as far as business is concerned. I want to, I guess, leave our audience with one final thought about this upcoming season. I know this is kind of a pointless exercise. The hot stove period is just underway. There's a lot of moves to be made. But, Michael, where do you see the Mets specifically standing in the NL East pecking order? You just given the fact that, you know, assume the roster is going to stay status quo. There's going to be no game-changing moves. The Mets are not going to sign a Steven Strasburger, of course, or sign a Gerrit Cole. Where do you see them in the pecking order in the division? And with the Braves being the reigning NL East champs and the Nationals being the reigning World Series champions, who is the favorite to win this division?
I would say the favorite's still Atlanta. I mean, they still have a lot of young pieces there. They just added Cole Hamels, which helps them. I would say the second best team, I don't want to say second favorite, but the second best team, I think it's really between Philly and Washington. I'm worried about Washington because if they lose Strasburg, and if they lose, they could lose Roark. They could also lose their second baseman, their third baseman as well, in free agency. So if they lose these guys, that's going to bring them back to the pack just a little bit. So I'm going to say Philly may be a little bit ahead of Washington, although I don't love Philadelphia's starting pitching. Even with Zach Wheeler there, who was not that great with the Mets, I still don't like their pitching. But with Joe Girardi there, you have to give Philadelphia a lot of respect moving forward. They're going to add some pieces here before we get to spring training. So I would say Atlanta, Philly, Washington, then the Mets. Maybe the Mets, then Washington. Right now would be my pecking order in the NL East.
And I 100% agree.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Cubs.
And that, Michael, is the way we're going to end the show. I mean, this, to me, is a landmark moment. I'm going to archive this podcast. I would suggest the listeners at home to archive this podcast because this is a landmark moment in the franchise. Whether you realize it or not, we're going to see basically how bad things have been over the ownership tenure of the Wilpons and how things are going to vastly improve under the guidance and ownership of Steve Cohen. I don't think you realize as a Met fan, Michael was one of the first to point it out about the lack of their willingness to spend, the financial hit that they supposedly took under Madoff, and many people, including Michael, had said they actually had benefited from it. So the fact now that you have an ownership group with deep pockets, willingness to spend, make this a big market team, I think the Met fans are going to be elated. The hardcore fans are going to be finally relieved, and they're going to be droves and droves of Met fans. And we know in New York that when, whether it's the Yankees making a World Series or the Mets back in 2015 making a World Series, there are a lot of Yankee, quote-unquote Yankees fans that will cross over onto orange and blue lines and vice versa. So I think there's a lot of exciting times ahead for the Mets. And frankly, Brody Van Wagenen better get his act together. Carlos Beltran better be ready, better cut out some of those antics he had in Houston and realize as the manager that's not going to be tolerated. But there are brighter days ahead for Met fans. And thankfully, as Michael Cohen said, the Wilpons and their controlling ownership in this franchise is in the past. So thank you again to everybody for listening. Signing off, this is Rick Laughlin and Michael Cohen on the Amazing Clubhouse podcast. Be sure to stay tuned to us on Sports Illustrated throughout the season. Thank you.